Now, if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we will take our reading from verse 19 through verse 27. Listen to this. This is God's word to you. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Let us pray. Almighty God, even now we pray that you will indeed work in our hearts, that you will indeed cause us to hear this word and to receive it, and to make it our own, to have it applied to us, that we might be faithful Christians. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you young people, you are getting ready for college. You're looking toward college. You've got these ideas about college and where you want to go. And let's say that you decided to tell everyone, well, that you're going to be a student at Harvard. After all, you're all smart enough. I know most of you. I know that you are smart enough. And so let's just say you're accepted into Harvard, and you begin to tell everybody, yes, I'm a student at Harvard, but when the time comes, well, even though you may have registered at Harvard, you also registered at Cambridge College and University, which is, well, it's only 0.3 miles from Harvard. And you attended classes at Cambridge, and well, you paid your dues at Cambridge and you got your grades from Cambridge, but you still wanted to tell everyone that you're a student at Harvard. Is there, in any sense of the word, or any way that you are a student at Harvard? No. No, you're a student where you attend, where you've paid your dues, where you have, well, registered and actually showed up for classes. Let's bring this a little closer. Let's apply this to the church. Let's say that someone claimed to be a member of Boyce Memorial ARP. After all, they did say some vows, and at one time they likely were baptized here. And they did say some vows. However, when the time comes, they don't go to worship. And they find other things that they like better to do. And they don't support the life of the church, and they don't support the sending out of the gospel. But they choose to do other things instead. Can that person in any real sense say, I am a member of Boyce Memorial? No, you know the answer. No, they cannot in any real sense, though they may want to hold on to, they may want to say that they are members there, because they want to hold on to some semblance, some form, some thought that they are right with Jesus. But having your names on the roll of a church does not make you right with Jesus. And so unless one who comes in and says they're a member and then they're out doing other things, never participating in the life of the body, if they do not repent and turn from that and take hold of the vows that they made and they become faithful and active, well, they are in no sense a member. Or rightly, as our standards say, they can't claim even to be a Christian. What about you? You're here this morning. And I'm talking in some sense to the choir, I guess. No offense, choir. I'm talking to the choir. You're here. You made the effort. And so, why am I addressing this with you? Well, because of our text. Because of our text. Verse 24 tells us that those who are a part of the local body, and we are a body, and we do need each other, and we do belong to each other, well, it says that we must consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works. Are you actively stirring up those parts of this body that you know are not active as they should be? Those that maybe even I've never met 20 years ago, they've made some vow, and you know the story, and you understand what's going on, but you know they should be here. Are you actively stirring them up to love and to good works? You see, there's no value having a name on a roll if there's no vital union to Christ and to His body. They go hand in hand. You can't have Christ and not be a part of His body. He's the head. And that's the picture that our text is giving. That's the picture that our New Testament reading has given. That's the picture that our Old Testament reading is setting before us. In reality, those who set their name on the rolls of a church and then they're enchanted by the world. They go out from us. They never act as a part of us. They're serving to their own judgment by joining the church. Well, they know that they need to be a part of the body. They know it. But they're mistaken by thinking that just having their names on the roll is a part of the body. And so in our text this morning, as we consider what it means to be faithful members, well, our text, he teaches us the grounds and the necessity of membership in the local church. The grounds and the necessity of membership, not just a name on a roll, but active participation in a local church. You see, our text is set in the context of trial, and we are not under threat for coming this morning. We come freely and openly to church. We're not under that threat of trial. But our text is set in response to the problem of Jews who had become Christians. They had become believers, but they were giving up their attendance at church and returning to synagogues in order to avoid persecution. This morning we're here, and in spite of not having threat outside, the author of Hebrews is saying to us that we must not neglect to meet with the body. We must not cast off the body or cut ourselves off from the body as if we don't need them or they don't need us. The Bible knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christians. And it's sad to say that some people, Jesus went more willingly to the cross than some professing Christians go to church. Is that you this morning? You're here, but is it out of a sense of longing, a sense of joy, a sense of desire, a sense of communion, a sense of hearty enjoyment of the blessings of God in Jesus Christ? Because our text teaches us the grounds and the necessity of local church membership and faithfulness to that church. We're going to take it up in 2 points this morning. Firstly, we're going to look at the grounds for church membership. And secondly, we're going to look at the necessity of church membership. We're going to deal with the first more briefly, the second a little longer. So the grounds of church membership, what are they? Well, they're found in verses 19 through 23 of our text. Therefore, brothers. Now, we're going to stop there. Why is he saying therefore? Well, it's because of all that has gone before us in the book of Hebrews. All that has gone before us up to this point, the author has been demonstrating that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than the Old Testament economy wherein they had the sacrificial system. He's better than the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus is better than even the priests of the past. And that's for the context of chapter 10. Jesus is better because He is our great and remaining high priest. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. This is the grounds of church membership. The grounds then are the fact that the most crucial matter for our lives, the most crucial thing in your life, is to belong to Jesus Christ. We must know Him. We must know Jesus Christ as our Lord. We must know the sinfulness of sin. And we must see the beauty of our Savior and see the beauty of the pursuit of holiness out of gratitude to God for salvation. Jesus gives us confidence to draw near to God. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. The Old Testament saints did not have this confidence. They did not have this ability to draw into the most holy places. because the blood of bulls and goats wasn't enough. And so they needed a high priest on their behalf that would sprinkle them with blood. And he himself had to be sprinkled with blood and purged from his sins and enter into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus, in and of himself, he enters in on our behalf and invites us in through the rending of his flesh. Through the work of Jesus on the cross, we can draw near to God. And so that is the most crucial, crucial element in your life. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Are you trusting in him as your Savior? Are you resting in the promises of God that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ? Because he is our high priest who intercedes for us and cleanses us by his person and work. That's the most crucial thing. Some of you now are looking at me and you're going, well, if that's the most crucial thing, if this is all important, is it still important to be members of a local church then? Why can't it just be me and Jesus and my Bible? Isn't it everything to belong to Jesus Christ savingly in the invisible church? After all, if that's what gets us to heaven, isn't that all that matters? And the answer from the Scripture is a thunderous, resounding no. No, that's not all that matters. It is that, the work of Christ. This is the grounds of our assembly. We need Jesus and we need each other. As you read that text, I want you to notice that it's not just speaking to an individual Christian. It's speaking to the assembly. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, and on it goes with these personal pronouns, we and us and we and let us and our and let us and our and let us. Jesus, yes, died for men and women and boys and girls, but he died that he might gather them into his body, into his family. That's what the psalm says. The psalmist says in chapter 68 and verse 6 that God brings the solitary, the lonely, into families or into his family. So that's the ground of church membership, the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the grounds of it. Now, is church membership a necessity? Is being active in the body necessary? Yes. And so let us turn and look to the necessity of church membership. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to assemble or congregate or meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, dear Christian friends, there are too many in our day who think that church membership has no requirements, no responsibilities, no real entering into the lives of others. Too many in our day want to treat church membership like Facebook friends. What do I mean by that? Well, many of you are on Facebook and you have acquaintance with, friendships with, possibly hundreds, even thousands of people that you have no real entrance into their lives. Something good happens and you click like, and that's good. You don't really enter into their celebration. You scroll on to see the next person and what they have going on. Something bad happens and that's okay. It's at a distance. I don't really have to offer my condolences or go to them or spur them on in good works. They're out there. And so many people in our day treat church life as if it is Facebook life. Those people, they're okay to know and to see on Sundays. It's okay to speak and have shallow, superficial, surface relationships that do not cost me anything or in which I have to be vulnerable to them. Facebook friendships are easy and cheap. They come and go in a moment's notice. Someone says something I don't like, click, I defriend them. That is not how Scripture portrays being a part of the body of Christ, being a part of the local assembly. Someone says something that I don't like, and I can in love overlook it, or I can go in the Spirit of Christ and come to them face to face. Real life is much more difficult and dirty and nitty-gritty than Facebook life. And so many people want to treat the church as if it's a friendship status on Facebook because, well, sinfully, they don't want to get involved in the lives of people who are just as messy and sinful as they are. Is that you this morning? Do you have a habit of showing up Sunday morning that's good? Corporate worship is the most important aspect of the Christian life. It is the most important thing that we do. But some of us have this habit of showing up on Sunday mornings and not caring and not seeking and not wanting to know or enter into or have others enter into our lives, because it's too painful. Because it costs us too much. Church is not remotely close to being like a Facebook friendship. There is by nature a connectivity that will not let us go. Just like in 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us about the body. Imagine, children, if one day your pinky says to you, you know what, I'm sick of this. I don't get the glory I deserve. I don't get what I really want. And all I do is, well, I serve to help hold on to things. I don't get to point like the pointer finger. If you used me more like the pointer finger and I had more attention brought to me, that would be great. But because of that, I am just leaving. And up it goes and hops off your hand. Do you think that you would suffer some lack, some want, some need without that? Yes. Yes, there is a connectivity that is necessary, that is vital, not just to the church, but to your own soul. That's the reason that we are likened to a body and to a family. I would ask you all to stand and to look around and see if you can name every name that is here. If you know what's going on in each other's lives. If you really know the struggles of the people around you. That'd be a little awkward, wouldn't it? Because the truth is, some of us don't know. We haven't entered into life as a body. The Bible knows nothing of our modern individualism. It tells us in verse 24, and let us as the community of Christ, as the body of Christ, as the assembly of Christ, let us consider how to stir one another up to good works and to love. So then, why is church membership a necessity? Very quickly, I'm going to give you 8 reasons why. First of all, because of Christ's intimate care for the church. Church membership is a necessity. Being a part of a local body and entering into the life and welfare in that body is because of Christ's intimate care for the church. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 20, you get this picture of the resurrected, ascended Christ walking in the midst of the church. You've got these lampstands, and He is walking in the midst of them, caring for them. Because in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, He goes in meticulous detail about where they are doing well and where they are failing and how He brings them to repentance and how they must turn to Him. Christ is intimately involved in His church. And if He loves the church that much to be involved in it in that way, those who name His name, those who are wanting to call upon Him, must love what He loves. And Christ loves the church. The church. Do you love this body? Do you love each other? If so, you must get beyond mere shallow surface entering into each other's lives, and you must be intimate. Intimate with one another, sharing of your hurts and needs and struggles, because that is how the body meets her needs. It is sinful and it is shameful if you need prayer and you don't come to the body. Because we are not lone rangers. We are not individuals. We are a part of the body. And if you are suffering, I suffer with you. And if He is suffering, you suffer with Him. We need each other. We are to enter into each other's lives in an intimate, caring way. Not only because of Christ's intimate care, but because it was the apostles' practice. Think about it. In the book of Acts, the apostles are going to the churches. They're establishing them and then seeking out how they might care for and preserve them. That's the apostles' practice. Early believers didn't distance themselves from the church when they saw shortcomings and problems, but they became energetically prayerful and involved to make those churches more faithful to the teachings of Christ and the apostles. And that is what every church member is called to do, because a church member belongs to a church family, to a church body. When a part fails, we try to make it well. We don't simply cut it off. Think about Corinth. You know what you know about 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. That church was a mess. They had things going on that were so vile, the apostle says not even the pagans would do these things. But he did not call her a church. And he said with great hope that Christ could restore them. That's the apostles' practice. Further, it's the early Christians' example. We've already looked at Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of the bread and to the fellowship of the saints." It's the practice of the early church to give itself to one another. It's also the focus, if you're keeping count, this is number 4, of the New Testament epistles. The New Testament epistles teach us to bind ourselves to a particular church. That's the whole context of the New Testament. Think about it. Where are most of the letters written in the New Testament? To individual people or to the church at so-and-so? The church at Corinth. The church at Philippi. The church at Galatia. The church at Ephesus. 7 churches in the book of Revelation are called out by name. It is the New Testament focus that Christians would unite in and be a part of a local body. Because when you're not a part of the body to which you have vowed to be a part of, she suffers. You miss one Sunday and you're out of where it is that we've been, especially if we're going through a book and you don't know what came before, and now you're trying to catch up with what comes behind. And then you miss in giving that week, and the church suffers. And you miss in the fellowship of hearing the prayers or seeing them in the bulletin that need to be offered up. The church needs you. And by the same token, you need the church. Fifthly, it is the implicit command in our verse, verse 25, not neglecting to congregate together, to assemble together, as is the habit of some. That's what's being said here. It's unbiblical to leave off from going to church for no reason. Now, if you're sick, or if you're wounded, or if you're out of town, okay, we understand. This is not dogmatic. I've even missed in the past year because of sickness. This is talking about as a habit, as a whole. You know what? I went to church last week. I don't need to go this week. I'll go next week. Nah, I've already been that week. I don't need to go the next. Our verse says that it is unscriptural and you are in sin if you are willfully neglecting the body. If a family has a child and they do not feed that child, and they do not do for that child in providing proper care and nourishment, are they acting as a family? The church is your family. Are you seeing to it that you are helping nourish and sustain? It's saying, let us consider how to stir up one another. Are you stirring up your brothers and sisters? And when you miss, they're not able to stir you up. Let me read to you a very serious and somber note from the Belgic Confession. It's a Reformed confession which we are in agreement with, even though we're Westminsterian. Listen to this. This is chapter 28. We believe that since this holy assembly, this local congregation and church, and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved, and there is no salvation apart from it, no one ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself, regardless of his status or condition. You think, I'm a burning ember. I am a coal that is on fire, white hot with passion for Jesus. I don't need that church. It's full of hypocrites and people who are sinful, and besides, I'm better than some of them. And you pull off by yourself. And that white hot passion will start to wane and you will begin to die. Stir you back into the coals of the fire of the church and you will be heated again. Sixthly, the benefits of the church. Calvin said it this way: in the church community, with the church pastoral oversight and the church fellowship, we actually help each other consciously, unconsciously. And when we are constrained to borrow from each other's gifts, we need each other. I am gifted in ways that you are not. When you are here and you are not singing, that means that my horrible croaking can be heard all the more. I need you. You need to be here to share with the body the giftedness that the Lord has given to you. Seventhly, God's providence. And let us consider how to stir up one another, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. By God's providence, this is where you have been placed. This is where you have taken vows of membership and sworn in a vow that is as binding as your marriage vow, that you would be a part of this body and serve this body and love this body and give to this body that Jesus Christ might be glorified in this community. Lastly, you see the necessity of church membership in that this is a family commitment. We're a body. We're a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't know what family you came from, but if you came from a family like mine, when family is down, you draw together and you lift each other up. When there is a need, you do for family. It's a family commitment, and you can't get away from it because you are bonded by a bond that is stronger than your blood relations. You are bonded by union to Jesus Christ. You know the language of Jesus. If you do not hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, you can't be my disciple. Now, he's not saying to literally, actually hate. He is saying that there is a bond that is even stronger than that bond, and it is love to Christ that draws us in. You have a family commitment here. Brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, this text sets before us the grounds and the necessity of local church membership and faithfulness. And just as that man or woman that goes to Cambridge College can't say he's a student at Harvard, if you're not faithful and active and diligent and you're not here, you can't say you're a member here. We need each other to stir one another up. Our text ends there, but let me give to you one solemn warning from the verses that follow. Verse 26 says to those who hear this admonition to draw together, to be a part of a local body, to join themselves in fellowship, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth," this is talking about church membership. This is talking about drawing together as the body. "There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." Bind yourself to Christ. He is your hope. And then bind yourself to His body, because it is here that we are kept from going on a fearful path, that we are stirred up to love and to good works. Are you a faithful Christian? Let's pray. Our Father, we confess that we all too often take lightly your church. We take lightly